I'm not sure how you feel about July the 4th is the Independence Day, but I thought we would talk about July the 4th, and that is today, not as Independence Day, but Interdependence Day. And you may not understand what is in view in that, but if you'd think about the verses that were read from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 about there being many members, and how that in our physical body, every part of our body is different from every other part of our body. You know, he says that we're one by one Spirit. We've been baptized in the one body, but we're all different. Verse 15 talks about the hand saying, or the foot saying, "I'm not, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body." Is it therefore not of the body? And the same thing about the ear and the eye and the fact he says, the body is so different. But then he says, God hath set the members in the body. A little bit later in this chapter, he'll take this very same kind of language and apply it to the church. And if you're a member of the body of Christ, you need to understand that you're different, you're unique, you're different from every other person in the body of Jesus. And when I say that, I cannot help but think, I'm so glad there's only one Gorman in this church. You stop and think about how different all of us are, and visitors, Gorman's a man I pick on all the time. I want you to understand that. Nothing personal. We're all different. And yet there is a place in the body of Jesus for every one of us. And we are dependent on each other. And that the whole design of the body of Jesus is not a body made up of individuals, though we are a body of individuals. But it's not a body made up of individuals who have no need for anybody else. I can be a Christian and I don't really need to be a part of the body. I don't need to be a part of the church. The whole design of this lesson is to remind each one of us that we are interdependent, and that the very way that God ordained and planned the church was to make it by its very design to be a body where hands that are not feet and eyes that are not ears, and where there are parts of this body that seemingly, of our own body, seemingly have no use, become a greater and a more important part of our body. You and I need to understand that because we're members of the body of Jesus, every one of us needs the rest of us. And we need, or we're needed by the rest of us. And when you leave today, I hope as a result of this lesson, you'll understand that God designed the church so that I need you and you need me, and for us as the body of Jesus to lose sight of that is to bring about something that exists on this earth that is so different from New Testament Christianity. When that church began, in Acts chapter 2, there were devout men from every nation under heaven. Devout Jews had assembled in that city. And think of the diversity there was in that place. And yet the church began with unbelievable diversity. And yet the Bible in those early chapters in the book of Acts talks about how they were united. And no man said what he had was his own. And even those that had possession took them and sold them and gave them to others as they needed. It was a voluntary thing, not communistic, where it was demanded by some officials. But they knew they needed each other so much. If I were to say to you, it is not good to be alone, I know the verse that will come to your mind. Go back to the very time when the Lord God had formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And whereas in Genesis chapter 1, over and over it is said, it is good, it is good, it is good. When we read in chapter 2 the details of the creation of Adam, God looked at Adam and said, It's not good for man to be alone. By the way, do you know how long it took for God to announce it's not good for man to be alone? On what day was Eve created? Oh, yeah, that's in chapter 1. Let us make man in our image. Male and female created he them. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. At best it took half a day for Adam and God to recognize it's not good to be alone. You understand that? What about David? Psalm 142, there's a psalm that's attributed to David that he wrote when he was in the cave. And he says in verse 4, I looked on my right. And for some reason I had memorized that. And memorized it, I looked on my right hand and on my left hand, and no man cared for my soul. You ever had a time like that in your life? Have you ever been to that point in your life where David was? It's not good to be alone. David was there in the cave, and Saul's got his army of hundreds that are out trying to destroy David. And David said, I looked on my right hand, and must have looked on his left also. And he says, there's nobody that cares for me. Folks, it's this underlying principle that it is not good for man to be alone. It's not good to try to serve the Lord all by ourselves. That has to do with the very design of the temple of God, the design of the church of God. What about Elijah? When Elijah had won that great battle against those 450 prophets of Baal, and he'd slain all of them, he left Mount Carmel and he said to God, God, there's not anybody on this in this whole nation that's interested in worshiping you. God, just go ahead and take my life. What good is my life? Nobody wants to live right. You ever been at that point in your life? Whenever you thought, nobody's really, really concerned about me? Then you understand that that's where David was and that's where Elijah was. They were both wrong. The Lord told Elijah, there's 7,000 people in Israel that you don't even know about. They're not bowing down to Baal. And what 7,000 among the million, perhaps, residents of Israel? But it's not good to be alone. And I love that story in Paul on that second missionary journey, whenever he had left Silas and Timothy and Luke up in Macedonia, and he went on down to Athens and then again to Corinth. And in both of those places, there's an indication of Paul being troubled in spirit. He's on this missionary journey and he's all by himself. When he writes 2 Corinthians, he talks about how the arrival of Titus and those individuals that he left up in Macedonia, or Timothy, those he had left up in Macedonia, when they arrived, the joy that was brought to him, loneliness. Do you know what is God's ultimate answer to loneliness? It's the church. And the very design of this lesson is to remind every one of us, members of the church, of the care that we need to have for each other. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says, when one suffers, when one weeps, the whole body weeps. And when one is honored, the whole body rejoices. The whole design of Christianity is not to just to design a meeting place where people come together and they sing and they pray and they commune and they give and they study the Word of God together. The whole design of Christianity is to create a family, brothers and sisters on this earth. That's the whole design of it. You see, God designed the church that it might care for widows. All the way through the Bible, every time widows are mentioned, there's always that constant reminder, the fact that God is concerned about widows. And 1 Timothy chapter 5 even indicates that there were those widows who were enrolled, those who were widows indeed, and their spiritual qualifications that are given there, where the church financially took care of certain widows in the first century. Then he turns right around and he says to those in that very passage, to the members of the church, don't you know you ought to take care of your own widows and let not the church be charged? But you see, when family members take care of widows, it is the church taking care of widows. And so James would say, pure and undefiled religion is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. Brethren, there are at least 45 widows in this church. Do you understand that God built the church to take care of those widows and by implication those who are widowers? Do you not understand that God knew that there would be widows and some way he's got to have hands that minister unto them and care for them? Not for them to look on their right and look on their left and there's nobody who cares for them. But a place where there is a place of care. And the same thing about orphans. The same passage, James chapter 1 and verse 27. Pure and undefiled religion is to visit the fatherless and widows. And think about how the church is designed to care for those who are older, those who are aged. The Bible talks about aged women in the church ought to teach younger women. Every time I think of the word aged in the Bible, I think about words Brother Camp said many years ago. Said the reason we don't have older women in the Bible or older women in the church teaching younger women is because when they read the Bible, it said aged women ought to teach the younger women, and we don't have any women in the church who admit they're aged. But the whole design is for God to find a place where those who are young and those who are old can be cared for. And later in this lesson, we will try to develop some practical applications of that. But right now, when you think about widows and widowers and those who are aging and those whose health are failing, will you not understand that God designed a body, designed a family, because it's not good for them to be alone? And not only that, but to care for the youth. How thankful I am for our young people and for the way that this congregation has done all that it knows how to do to mold and to shape the lives of our young people and those who are in junior high and senior high and even younger than that. I want to express to you the great love this church has for you and how we stand ready to help you in all of the burdens and trials that you have. We want to be your extended family. Why? Because that's why God built the church, so there could be those who are aged and those who are young in the church. They might be cared for. Why? Because it's not good to be alone. And not only that, that verse in Psalms, and by the way, David and I right now are working on Soldiers of Christ, and how thrilling it is to be working on that which we'll be studying starting in the latter part of August, first part of September in our Sunday night study. We've been working on the book of Psalms, and there is that psalm that says, "And the Lord places the solitary in families." And there is that person who moves down here. And all of a sudden there's a family to receive them, those who are lonely. They are those who have lost mates, the solitary. And it is those young people who perhaps are not yet married, the young professionals. God designed the church that you might have family. And then there are those of you who've taken a stand for Christ, and by the very fact that you've taken a stand for righteousness, your family is turned against you. I want you to know God designed the church that he might place the solitary in families. And I didn't know what to put next. And I started to put et cetera, but I just put the care of anything not mentioned above. You lonely? You need to understand that the Lord designed the church, and God forgive us whenever we fail to do this for each other. And God open our eyes so that we may be able to see those who need. And God help each one of us, those who are lonely and those who can provide and fulfill the loneliness that's in the hearts and the lives of those individuals. God help us. God help this church to be what God had in mind when He planned the church. In the Bible, there are some one another verses. And I'm probably going to fail in what I want to do right now, but I need your help. As these verses come on the screen, I want you to finish the sentence where the word one another is found. Mark chapter 9, verse 50. Have peace with. Luke 24, 17. They had conversation with. John 13, verse 14. You ought to wash. John 13, 34. Romans 12, 5. We are members. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. Be kindly affectionate. Romans chapter 12 and verse 16. Be of the same mind toward. Romans chapter 15 verse 5. Be like-minded toward. Romans chapter 15 verse 7. Receive. Romans 15, 14. Admonish. Romans 16, 16. Greet one another. Well, I did it wrong. Greet with a holy kiss. 1 Corinthians 12, 25. Have the same care. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. Through love, serve. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Bear one another's burden. Would you look at the verbs up there? Peace and conversation and washing and loving and members and kindly affection of the same mind, like-minded, receiving, admonishing, greeting, the same care, through love, serve one another and bear one another's burdens. Would you think of the verbs that are there? Do you see what God had in mind when Christ was on the cross and He put on this earth, and He put in Palm Beach County, and He put in this very building a body that ought to be of this nature? That's not all. Look at the next list. Ephesians chapter 4, bearing with. Ephesians 4:25, we are members. Ephesians 4:32, forgiving. Ephesians 5:19, speaking. You know the rest of that verse? In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You understand that's what worship is all about? When we're singing these songs, we're admonishing one another. Ephesians 5:21, submitting. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, teaching and admonishing in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, abound in love to one another. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 19, you're taught by God to love one another. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13, verse 18, comfort. Chapter 5, verse 11, edify. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 13, exhort one another daily. I've read all of that one. Hebrews 10, 25, exhorting one another as you see the day approaching. James 5, 16, confess your trespasses to. James 5, 16, pray for one another. That's not all. Shall we do one more? 1 Peter 1 and verse 22, love one another fervently. Chapter 3, verse 8, have compassion for one another. Chapter 4, verse 18, have fervent love. 1 Peter 4, 9, be hospitable without grumbling, it says. Do you mean I have to have those folks over to the house? That's not what God had in mind. 1 Peter 4 and verse 10, minister. 1 Peter 5, 5, all of you be submissive. And then from the writings of John, have fellowship with one another. Chapter 3, verse 23, love. Chapter 4, verse 7, let us love. Chapter 4, verse 11, we ought to love one another. 2 John, love one another. And that's it. You know how many times one another is found in the Bible? And that's not exhaustive. 81 times in the New Testament. It is a day of interdependence. It is a year of interdependence. The design of Christianity is a life of interdependence. And we kept reading, love one another, agape one another. And that one expression is found 12 times in the Bible. At our 12:30 service, and we just have to cut it short, we're going to talk about the application of interdependence. And I hope you'll be here. We want to talk about, in practical terms, how do I do this? And I hope that you'll be here by 12:45 that we might look at all of this together. The church, not a place of individuals who drive to a building and sing together and pray together and study together and give together and commune together, but a place where this is the time where we come and we're encouraged and uplifted and exhorted, so that when we leave this place, we leave this place to minister, to be submissive to one another. I know the church is not perfect. I know Palm Beach Lakes is not perfect. But I trust that a lesson like this will make every one of us understand that we are members one of another. And so when I see you in this place, or when I know about your life from announcements that are made about what's happening in your life, when I see that you're burdened, when I see that you're not here, that I don't just think, wonder what is happening in their life. We're members of one another, and it is what is happening in our life. He planned from eternity a family of brothers and sisters, members one of another, where when one suffers, all suffer, and when one is honored, all are honored. And there's neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male nor female, young or aged. We're all one, uniquely different individuals make up one interdependent body. But are you in that body? Do you know how to become a part of the body? How did people in the first century become part of this interdependent body? Well, they believed in Jesus. John 3:16 says, You know, God so loved that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever, and that's universal, believes in Him should not perish. And because of the faith that they had in Jesus, they made up their minds to turn their lives over to Him, turn away from sin, to repent that they might be saved, because 2 Peter chapter 3 says it's the will of God that all men should repent. They confessed their faith in Jesus, Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, and they were baptized into the very death of Jesus, where all of their past was washed away. And they became cleansed by the blood of Jesus and added to that family. Don't you want to be a part of that family today? Then let God forgive you. And when you're baptized into Christ, you become a part of this family, the body, the kingdom, the church. And then He says to those of us who have been made part of the body of Jesus in the past, you keep on keeping on until you die. Be faithful, full of faith unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. If you're not in the body can help you in any way. Won't you let it be known by coming to the front right now as together we stand and sing? Will you come?